Well, good morning, and the Lord's blessing. Hasn't it been a wonderful day so far? Praise be to God that we are in His house and we are able to worship Him together. Pastor Nate mentioned about the baptismal service being a proclamation of the gospel, and indeed the hymns that we were just able to sing with the worship team are proclamations of the gospel. And for this, we praise God. Now, over a number of years that I've been in the ministry, and even before then, there have been people who have often asked a number of questions, usually one question or two, but then over a period of time, there's a certain similarity with the questions. For example, what happens when I die? That's a question that many people have. Another one, what kind of body do we have when we leave this earth, if indeed we leave this earth? And will we recognize each other in heaven? Well, we can praise God that the Word of God has answers to all of these questions. Perhaps some of us in the congregation this morning has been asked one or more of these questions, and we have an opportunity to share our belief, share our faith in Jesus Christ. We're told in Scripture that we're always to be ready with an answer. And if sometime we feel a little inadequate, just say a very quick prayer to God in heaven and ask Him to give you the words to say at this point to meet that person's question or to provide an answer or to share your faith. So let us take a look at the Word of God as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And then I'm going to skip over to verse number 50. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, you'll find these words in page 1139 and 1140. So, beginning to read with 1 Corinthians 15, the first two verses, let us hear the word of God. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? I read the wrong verses. But those are good verses, too. I hope you got that. Back to chapter 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want you to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Now, over to verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of sin is death, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hold on to those last few words. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes people are laboring for the Lord, they're witnessing for the Lord, and they have some discouragement, and they think maybe there is no success here. Hang on to that verse. The labor that you undertake and give to the Lord for the Lord's purpose is not in vain. You'll never know how the Lord will be able to use a little word of prayer, a little word of encouragement, even an offer to pray for someone. You never know how the Lord is going to take your words and what you did faithfully, what you said faithfully, take it and use it for the eternal salvation of that individual. Now, when we as believers die physically, our bodies, often referred to as our remains, are left behind. They are buried in the ground, buried at sea, or scattered in the wind. They're called remains because that's all that is left of us when our soul, mind, spirit, and personality leave our body and go out into eternity. Now, believers go out into eternity, and I believe that at that precise moment of our last breath here on earth, that God sends his angels. He knows when that moment is going to happen, and he's already dispatched his angels to that individual, and those angels will usher, escort the person into the Savior's presence. Now, unbelievers, they also go out into eternity. They do not go out to be with Jesus. We know from the scripture that they go in a place of eternal punishment, a place called hell. But this morning we're not going to talk about unbelievers. We're going to talk about believers. What happens when I die? What does happen when I die? Now then, there is the day of resurrection coming. And when it comes, our bodies are going to come up out of the ground if we have been buried in the ground or in the sea or whatever. But they're going to be different than when they went in. Went into the body and you know it was going to decay. But when we come out of the grave, we know that the bodies are going to be different. Out of the ground bodies will be the same in essence. You will still be you and I will still be me. However, there will be a great difference. Presently, our bodies are inferior to what we need for everlasting life. We're all subject to disease and ultimately to decay of some nature. We're subject to pain. All of those things come. Our bodies were not made to last for eternity. I believe that Adam and Eve, their bodies, in the likeness of the triune God, were made to last for eternity. But then sin entered. And when sin entered, no longer were they going to last for eternity. But we will have new bodies that will be constructed to last for eternity. Our bodies are inferior for eternal life. I know that I think probably all of us at one point or another look into a mirror. And when we look into the mirror, we discover slowly, quickly, that we don't look the same as we did 20 years ago. We don't look the same as we did a number of years ago, and we don't like to admit it. But the truth of the matter is, we are aging. Things aren't working quite the same way that they used to work. And we know this is happening in our life today. But our resurrected bodies will not be inferior. They will be superior. They will not be aging. They will be bodies that will last for all eternity. In fact, our new bodies will be indestructible, identifiable, incredible, and infinite. This morning, we're going to look at those first two, our bodies being indestructible and identifiable. Our new bodies will be indestructible. Now, let me read a passage of scripture again. That's 1 Corinthians 15, beginning to read verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, that's what we are, inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, we are the ones who are living, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Very interesting words. If you're following the King James Version, instead of the words perishable and imperishable, you will see the words corruption and incorruption. Throughout history as we know it, there's only been one person in all of history who did not decay in the grave, and that was Jesus. Everyone else who's died and died, they died physically and they were buried, wherever they were buried, their bodies have decayed. Their bodies were perishable. But our blessed Lord Jesus, he lived, he died a cruel death, he was in the tomb, and he was there for 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, he rose again. And when he rose again, while his body looked exactly like it did before, now it was an imperishable body. Our new bodies will not be subject to accident, disease, aging, or death. Our bodies will be pain-free and disease-free. I think sometimes there are those of us who wake up in the morning and say, oh, dear God, I would like to have my imperishable body just about now, because the pain is great and is going to be greater during the day. Dr. David Jeremiah wrote these words. He said, "Our bodies will never wear out and never die. They will outlive the stars." Now, you know, for you and for me to comprehend exactly what that means, it may be somewhat of a challenge, but how marvelous it is that we will outlive even the stars in all of eternity. I remember being called to the hospital one time to visit with a person, and this person was in the last stages of life. In fact, I've been called on a number of occasions. On one occasion, I met with a man, and he had never committed his life to the Lord, and I shared with him the plan of salvation, prayed with him, and he is in heaven today. But another man I visited, he said, "There is nothing after death. When you're dead, you're gone, it's over, done with. There's absolutely nothing. And I don't care what you have to say." And I said to him, "What happens if you're wrong?" And he said, "I don't care. I'm not wrong. I'm right." Well, today he knows he was not right. There is life after death. Believers go out into the presence of Jesus, and unbelievers go out not in his presence, but in a place of hell. Now, Paul writes this in Romans. "Now, if we died with Christ," that means we accepted Christ, he's in our life, "we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." Did you note these words? "He cannot die again." Now, we often say that with everything, God is possible, and that's true. But this is one area where it's not possible. It's not possible because Jesus Christ died once and once only. He was raised in a glorified body. That glorified body was for all eternity, and he cannot die again. I don't know if you've ever watched the Olympics. I do occasionally when they're on. Some of them drive me crazy, but others of them I find very interesting. And I'm absolutely amazed at what people can put their bodies through. I think of all these things they're doing. I went on the computer recently and looked at somebody doing a high dive. Now, this man, it's 10 meters in the air. He walked out confidently on the platform, stood at the end of the platform with the water way down there, and then he turned around and had his back to the water. And then he bent over and he did a handstand perfectly erect on the edge of that high dive board. And then he moved his arms and flipped over and did a couple of twists and landed in the water in a perfect straight perpendicular to the water. I was absolutely amazed. It's something I've often dreamt of doing. I went up on the high board once. I turned around and went down again. But can you imagine that? I think in our indestructible bodies, our glorified bodies, we'll be able to run as fast as the fastest runner. I believe we'll be able to do that high dive with great thrill. I believe we'll be able to ski down all those hills with great dexterity. It'll be absolutely wonderful. The wind will be blowing in our face, and we will be praising God all the way down. I think we're going to be like that because our bodies will be absolutely indestructible. Secondly, our new bodies will be identifiable. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 43, we read, "Our bodies, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." Praise be to God. The word glory can also be translated as brilliance. So we think about it. There are some people who believe that when we get our new bodies, our new glorified body, they're going to be sort of an illuminescent kind of thing will be there and to distinguish us from unbelievers. And you might say, I wonder if there's any scriptural support for this. Well, yes, there is. Way back in the Old Testament, when Moses was up on the mountain, and he was in the presence of the Lord, and he came down from the mountain with his commandments. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. In fact, his face was so radiant that he put a veil over his face because his brother and sister and others were afraid to come to him. So there was a brilliance illuminated in some way of Moses' face. But we also discover another incident that we find in Luke chapter 9. It was the transfiguration. After about 8 days, after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up into the mountain to pray. As he was praying, now hear this, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Now there's important truth in this. This is what the glorified body of Jesus looked like. Then he returned to his normal state, and then following his burial, his death, burial, and resurrection, then he had a new glorified body. In Revelation chapter 21, we read about believers living in the new heaven, new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And the scripture says in Matthew, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The glory that our Lord experienced, had in his resurrected body and his glorious return, is the pattern for you and for me in our eternal resurrected body. Several scriptures tell us that the Lord Jesus in his own resurrection provided the payment, the proof, and the pattern for our resurrection. Now, three other verses for us to take a look at. Paul writes in Philippians, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, look at this, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So, when we die, our bodies go to the ground or whatever, our spirit, mind, soul, personality go out to be with the Lord. And during that time, we have a temporary body awaiting for the resurrection for our glorious body. Here's another scripture in 1 John. Dear friends, now we are children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then finally in 1 Corinthians, and just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. The earthly man was Adam. The heavenly man is Jesus. So we get a glimpse of his resurrected body from his word, which records his post-resurrection experiences. He appeared to disciples and others 10 or 12 times following his resurrection. His resurrection body was not indefinable. It was not unidentifiable. It was clearly definable, and they knew who it was. It was observable. It was physical. It was tangible. So will ours be. Jesus said, when they looked at him, particularly to Thomas, he said, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. This was Jesus speaking. That was the pattern. Our resurrected bodies are going to be like our Savior's resurrected body. This tells us that we are not going to leave our body and go out as some kind of a ghost, like a phantom, some other nature that floats forever and ever. We're going to have the same literal, physical bodies, but they will be risen and resurrected and glorified, equipped to last for all eternity. For those of us who enjoy eating, it's always been great encouragement to me to see that Jesus, in his resurrected form, ate with his disciples. And then, of course, in the book of Revelation, we learn about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be involved in that marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have a magnificent heavenly feast. And it doesn't matter what it is, whatever food is presented before us, we are going to be able to eat, we are going to be able to enjoy it, and we won't have to worry about what kind of an effect it's going to have on our body. It's there, it's heavenly food presented to us by Jesus. I've heard this following question many times. In my new resurrected body, will people know me? Will they recognize me? Will I know others? Well, Scripture provides the answer. First, after the resurrection, Jesus knew his disciples, and they knew him. they knew who he was. Oh, there was one point on their road to Emmaus that he sort of disguised himself, but then he became very real to them. They knew who he was. Secondly, it's inconceivable to the human mind that we would know less in heaven than what we already know here on earth. There are some people who have absolutely fabulous amount of knowledge in their head. Have you ever watched Jeopardy? How can you believe people would have all those facts in their head? It amazes me. But in our glorified body, our minds will be filled with fact after fact. We'll be praising God because of it. And thirdly, Moses and Elijah appeared to Peter, James, and John, and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John knew who Jesus was. They knew who Moses and Elijah were. They were identifiable. And of course, Jesus knew who they were. Our scripture says this: just as a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, that's a message to believers. Unbelievers don't understand the passage. Unbelievers are going to die. They are going to go out into eternity. For example, people have asked, what happens? We hear about the dead. What happens to us when the resurrection time comes and the bodies come out of the grave or out of the sea or wherever they are? What about us? Well, we who are left behind, who are believing in Jesus as Savior, when we've accepted him as Savior and Lord, the scripture says we'll be changed and we will go immediately. We will have our transformed body, our eternal body. I don't know whether the moment the trumpet sounds, our bodies will change, or whether when we hear the trumpet, then we're on our way up. And on our way up, our bodies are changed. It doesn't really matter. The fact is, we know that our bodies are going to be changed and we're going to be made to live for all eternity with Jesus. Praise be to God. Now, every single person on this earth is going to face the day of resurrection and they're going to face the day of judgment. Jesus is a judge for every unbeliever. For every believer, Jesus is our Savior. If you've placed your trust in him as Savior and Lord, when that trumpet sounds, what happens in the next 5 minutes if the trumpet were to sound? Well, this place would be empty. I pray it would be empty for everyone. I pray that none who are here this morning would be left behind. But the only way to assure yourself that you will not be left behind is to recognize that you are a sinner in the need of a Savior. The only one who could be your Savior is Jesus. It's a free gift. He's paid for it already. It's paid for, signed, sealed, and delivered once you accept it. It could be delivered and you never accept it. You don't have it, but you need to accept it. And it's accepting this free gift that God gives to you, paid for by Jesus, invited him into your life, accepting this free gift of eternal life, of a place in heaven. I pray that you, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, that you have received Jesus as your Savior. I don't care whether you're young or old. I pray that you have looked to Jesus, because that trumpet is going to sound, I believe, in our lifetime. I don't know if it's going to happen in the next 5 minutes or not, but it's going to happen, and we need to be ready. And there's a crown of righteousness for all who put their trust in Jesus and look forward to his coming. I pray you're looking forward to his coming. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify your name. We thank you for Scripture, the Word of God. We thank you for the examples that we receive, because we know from your Word that when the time comes for our physical death, for every believer, we will be in your presence, and we will finally, Lord Jesus, see you face to face. We praise you and we thank you in our Savior's name. Amen.